Hi, everyone. This is your host, Amy Geckel, and we are here with Entry 22, our season finale of Season 1 of The Eating Disorder Diaries. Let me take you guys back to almost a year ago today, December 17th, 2022, setting the stage. The day started out pretty normally. I was newly engaged. We were getting engagement photos taken downtown later that day, which was honestly so fun. One of my friends was shooting us. My best friend Taylor came with us. We were popping champagne. It was a good time. When I woke up that day, I went right into my morning routine like I always do. If you've been listening, you know this is a tried and true for me. Start with water, coffee, then I do a 10-minute meditation, and then I journal. I also date my journal entries, which is why I can look back so fondly on my entry on December 17th, 2022, where I decided to write an intro for a podcast I wanted to start. I didn't know what to name it. I just knew I wanted to start a podcast about my life in eating disorder recovery. I wanted to reach people. I wanted to help people and share my story. So I just thought, I'm writing in my diary right now. Why don't I call it The Eating Disorder Diaries? I finished writing up that journal entry and I went and got my hair cut, got our photos taken. And then Taylor, my best friend, came back home with us after and we sat on my bed and I read her the intro. And of course, being my best friend, she was fully supportive. So was my fiance, Brendan. And the act of actually reading it out loud to someone else made it real. I bought a mic shortly after that, really had no idea what I was doing. I had some ideas for some episodes, but I didn't really know anything about the podcasting world, about editing it, marketing it, you name it. So I set a goal to figure that out, and the rest is history. In March of this year, I launched the first 3 episodes and have put out a new episode biweekly since. And when I tell you that my expectations were exceeded, I would not have believed it if you told me the podcast would be downloaded in over 110 countries, tens of thousands of times, and I would get the opportunity to be featured on the news, in online articles, in the newspaper, and most importantly, that I would get to connect with listeners all over the world. People have reached out from England, France, Japan, India, New Zealand, all over the States. I've made new friends. I've leaned into my purpose. I feel like I've really grown this year and have put out conversations that I'm really proud of. And I said at the beginning, my goal was to help one person, but I truly hope these episodes make anyone suffering feel less alone or learn something or start taking steps to recovery. So I thought it would be fun for this last episode of the season to go back and highlight and replay some of my favorite parts of the season from the different entries and have you guys join me to hear what I've loved about it and really highlight what I've learned and what my takeaways are, because this podcast genuinely helps me in my day-to-day eating disorder recovery. And hopefully you can take something away from this too. So without further ado, here is entry 22, the season finale and best of The Eating Disorder Diaries. And we'll be back right after this break.
On the outside, you have it all together. You're successful. You seem happy. But what your friends and family don't see is that you're living in the vicious cycle of bulimia. You know something needs to change. Your health depends on it. But you just don't know where to start. That's where Conquering Bulimia comes in. It's a one-of-a-kind online recovery course brought to you by certified eating disorder coaches Sarah Lee and Merritt Elizabeth. They know exactly what you're going through. They've both recovered from bulimia and have teamed up with leading experts to create an online course with over 70 short videos to jumpstart your recovery. Conquering Bulimia is private and self-paced, filled with personal stories and coaching tips that will teach you how to change your behaviors for good. And it's affordable, offered at an incredible discount of 60% of the cost of one-on-one coaching. Break free from bulimia on your terms and start living the life of peace you deserve at conqueringbulimia.com.
One more note on Conquering Bulimia. Through December 31st, they have a massive sale, like massive sale on this course. I've purchased it myself, and I guarantee if you are someone looking to learn more about how to conquer bulimia, how to break the cycle, hear from industry experts, hear from people who have conquered bulimia themselves, go run to get this course. The link's available in the show notes, and I will be talking about conquering bulimia a little bit more later on in this episode. But with that said, let's catch up a little bit. Right now, I'm in Florida for the entire month of December. I've been hanging out with my retired parents for a few weeks. Things have been very relaxing, very routine, and I've pretty much been doing absolutely nothing the past few weeks and have been enjoying the hell out of it. It is rather convenient to have lunch and dinner made for me every single day. My dogs are getting walked. They're loving the Florida sun. We have a yard here, which is very different than our city and apartment living back home. I really have been trying to be mindful, though. I think this is a really precious time to have with my family. This is something I don't get to do all of the time. I love being with them, and next year is going to be extremely busy for me. We're still working on season two next year, but my wedding is less than 6 months away. Hello. So I'm really just trying to cherish this slower time because I don't think I'm going to get that anytime soon again. And I'm still trying to stick to my positive behaviors when I'm here, though. I'm journaling every morning still, keeping pretty consistent with my workouts. I'm doing a lot of YouTube workouts, but I'm also doing a lot of running because I signed up to do a 5K race in Florida. Those little races really just motivate me. So that'll be happening soon. I'm also doing virtual therapy, which has been great to kind of keep the cadence up and still be talking to my therapist that I usually would go see in person, but have the virtual sessions here. It's good to check in on a weekly basis. And we've actually been doing EMDR sessions virtually. We use a YouTube video that I listen to with different tones in varying beats per minute. And it's been really helping me, which I was honestly surprised about because I haven't done it for a while. So let's take it back to entry four and hear from my therapist, Cindy White, on more about what EMDR actually is.
EMDR is eye movement desensitization and reprocessing. So in effect, it is doing exactly what it says. It's giving trauma, or it's giving you the ability to desensitize and reprocess your trauma. So an analogy I like to use is the idea of, I think people can, even if they don't have hair, they can relate to this. This idea of a knot being in your hair. And, you know, every time you try to comb it, it, you know, it hits it and it hurts and it's, you know, hard to get through it. But the more and more you can work at that knot, you know, the more and more you can comb through that knot, the better, you know, the it's going to smooth out, it's going to iron out, and it's eventually going to integrate again within, you know, within the hair. So it's like this idea of taking that trauma, which is basically just a big ball of energy in your nervous system, and smoothing it out so that you can manage it, you know, like a normal memory or, you know, something like that. So it's helping you to kind of smooth through your trauma.
She really does have the best analogies and has been an invaluable resource in my life. I talk more about my personal experience with EMDR in entry five. So tune into that one if you're curious and you haven't listened. But I want to just reemphasize that EMDR has been a critical part of my recovery journey. It was definitely tough at first, daunting even, to bring up past memories. I didn't want to, but like she said, I've been able to comb the knot. And now when I'm doing these virtual sessions with my therapist, I'm able to look back on those old memories from a completely different perspective. I show myself so much less judgment. I don't feel shame. And I'm not perfect. I'm still very critical of myself in a lot of ways. But lately, my biggest takeaway with doing these EMDR sessions is that I'm truly able to understand behaviors that I still have today. And instead of judging them, I am actually trying to lean into what my natural tendencies and behaviors are. One way that I've been trying to do this is while acknowledging that I'm very fully type A control freak sometimes, you've probably heard this in previous episodes, there are times that I almost want to go on autopilot. I don't want to be making decisions all the time. I want the routine. And yeah, I used to really beat myself up for getting into a headspace of not wanting to make decisions, wanting other people to kind of control me in a way, I guess. And I can completely understand why I have those types of behaviors and tendencies. I'm trying to be my own observer. So one way that I'm trying to lean into loving that version of me this month is getting into the routine that I'm in with my parents. And I know this is very temporary where I'm visiting them, but when I tell you guys that my parents live and breathe by their retirement routine, a typical day is waking up, drinking coffee, watching the morning news. This is going to happen every single day. Midday, something active. So whether it's going for a walk with the dogs or maybe a bike ride, and that gets us to 2 p.m. lunch, 2 p.m. sharp. We eat the same things basically every day, a various salad for me and dad, a various sandwich for mom. And we will be watching an episode of Beat Bobby Flay during lunch. After that, the afternoon is used for showering, laundry, bills, dinner prep, whatever. And then every day at 6:30 p.m., Alexa comes on to announce to the house that it is happy hour and it's time to grab a drink. I have been indulging with them from time to time, mostly keeping it to the weekends, but we wind down the day watching a show, whether it's Survivor or Love Island. We've been watching a lot of Christmas movies this time of year. And when I say that I absolutely thrive in this type of environment, and I'm only slightly kidding, but genuinely, I just feel very lucky and blessed to be hanging out with my parents this much. And I wanted to take it back and highlight my interview with them in entry 3. I remember calling them and telling them I was thinking about starting a podcast and I had an idea for an episode I wanted to do with them. And they said, okay, they graciously agreed because I wanted the episode to highlight what it's like for a parent to have a child with an eating disorder. And one thing that really stands out to me from this conversation that I want other parents to really digest is something my mom said when I asked her if there was something she would have done differently. So let's hear from her now.
Well, I guess one of the biggest reflections that I have was while I didn't sit in on most of your therapy sessions, you two did that behind closed doors. And then I was invited in for a few moments at the end of each session. But I guess I should have realized, I wish I would have known more and didn't think that because this therapist said after 5-10 sessions, okay, yep, she feels good. I feel good about her. Good to go. I would have known that, oh, heck no. You don't get better from this disease in 5 hours or 10 hours. It's a far more serious condition than what I imagined.
I thought that was such a good answer, and it meant a lot to me. And I hope that this really does resonate with some of you, whether you're a child struggling talking to your parent or vice versa. I would love for that conversation that I had with my parents to kind of be an olive branch for you to take those next steps and treat this like the serious disease that it is. It will not go away by ignoring it. It goes away by confronting it and working through it. And this impacts millions of people. So just remember that you are not alone. So to wrap up my reflection on entry 3, I just want to say thank you to my parents. I know they listen to every episode. So hi, guys, you raised a perfect daughter. I love you both. I love the time that we can enjoy in our lives together. And you really genuinely have helped mold me into the strong person I feel like I am today. So thanks for being the best. But that's enough from me. Let's hear from some of my favorite clips over the season. We're going to take it back to entry 6. I recorded this back in the spring of this year at the Eating Disorder Foundation. I sat down with Lydia and Sabrina, two people who have both held leadership positions at the foundation, and also two people who have run many a support group that the foundation holds. 2023 was the first year I ever went to an eating disorder support group, and while I was in recovery at the time, I felt like I needed an extra sense of community, and I was truly mind blown at the sense of actual community and understanding and welcoming and inclusion. I felt at the support group, you don't feel like a weirdo. You relate to people on such a deep level. And I think support groups are so important and can be so healing and be a huge tool in your eating disorder recovery. But it can be scary to take that first step and actually go. So here's Lydia on what you can expect from attending a support group at the Eating Disorder Foundation.
I think talking about the structure is so important because it's so, like you said, like unknown, like you don't know what to expect going into it because there's not really like a display of what that is going to look like and how you're going to feel during it. So I'm really excited to talk about it. The way that we open up our groups, everyone's able to come in anytime. Usually folks join us around 10 minutes before, start popping in, make some tea, have a seat, find their little spot in the room. And then right around that 5 o'clock time, we shut the doors and we get started on guidelines. We really like to set up the space to make sure that folks feel comfortable to come in and know that there's going to be the same guidelines read before every single group to ensure that folks know the standard of how we hope that everyone respects and interacts with each other in our spaces. And that's been something that's been consistent and allows for there to be a lot of gray area in the conversations that come up, any topics, any conversations we're going to have. It allows there to be a safe container for all those to be in. And I like to always open up my groups with a challenge and a success of the week and areas of support they're looking for from everyone. And it really is like the support groups every time I'm here and able to step in, I am just like overcome with the amount of real like humanness that is just put on the table for everyone to witness and to share in together. And I feel like this is sometimes the only space that we have to do that, right? Is like an hour of the week that we're like, all guards come down. We can really talk about how we feel as humans going through our personal human experiences and then be met with like the utmost compassion. And I see you, I hear you. This is how I relate. And just sharing that together is very magical to witness. And then we wrap up groups with takeaways. Folks usually hang out, chat a little bit after groups. And then we say goodbye for the week.
If you've been debating about going to a support group, I really highly recommend it. And I can pretty much guarantee you will not regret it. The Eating Disorder Foundation does have the in-person groups, but they also have online groups. So if you are listening and you are not local to Denver, Colorado, you can still attend their groups. Their links are available in the show notes of entry 6, so go check that out. But I just really loved the entire conversation. I would love for you to tune in to entry 6 if you haven't heard it yet. Next, we're going to hear from Chris Castellani in entry 7. If you've heard his name before, it's because he has quite the following working over at Barstool Sports, and he caught my attention when he posted a blog titled I'm Going to Rehab, where he chronicled his struggles with alcohol use and bulimia and talked about how he wanted to be honest with his following that this is what he was going through. When I started this podcast, I was initially a little bit nervous to go public with my past struggles, but Chris announced his on an entirely different scale and much bigger platform. So I asked him how he felt brave enough to do that. And this is what he said.
I mean, a lot of it was desperation, you know, because I tried, and I mean, you had a much longer struggle with it than I did, but you try off and on to see if you can cope with it on your own, if you can deal with it on your own. And I did, I really did. I mean, this went on, I mean, I've been drinking for a long time, but the drinking in severe excess coupled with the bulimia was about a year and a half. I think it was July of 2021. It started, and you know, every few months it's like, all right, let's see if I can go a week. By the time I got to that point, by the time I got to December 2022, I tried everything. I talked with my therapist about it. You know, the one of the big reasons I went for the drinking was the fact that, like, you know, like a lot of addictions, like, there comes a health risk with just trying to quit on your own. And it's like, I feel like I'm at a point now where this needs to be, like, medically monitored so that I don't, like, you know, end up doing a full, even more harm to my body than I've already done. And in terms of the bulimia stuff, I mean, I have not read that blog in a long time, because it was written at the rock bottom point of my life. I am very lucky with some of the issues that I've had, even going beyond what we're talking about here, that I feel comfortable with my audience and with my platform. You know, I would say it was December 6th when I checked myself in. Three people knew before I checked myself in. And then right before I went to rehab, like the day of, probably three or four people closest to me found out. And then obviously the rest of the world did. You know, when you're an internet-based content creator, which, I mean, most people who are content creators are, obviously, at this point, I felt more comfortable sharing it that way than privately pulling people aside and being like, here's what I'm going through, because you don't see the reactions. And I knew it would floor people, and I knew I knew it would surprise people. And there's still a guilt that comes with that. Like, I go back and watch the videos I did when I was really at its worst, when I was going, you know, purging 15 times, you know, in a day, when I was drinking heavily, to see if there was anything noticeable. Like, has there been a change? And honestly, like, I hit it so well that it made sense why it surprised people. And I knew I would catch people off guard. You didn't mean to. Like, it's your own personal struggle. But I mean, I think that it was one of the few times in my life where it's like, I got to make my own decision here and just be autonomous and just even, like, forget how the rest of the world is going to react to this. You got to take care of yourself, finally.
Chris goes on in entry 7 to talk about how going to rehab really did change the trajectory he was on, and how he's entered a spot of recovery. But I just think everything he was saying was so relatable, with him saying how he hit it well. And I find that so often we suffer in silence. But something I've learned this year is that eating disorders thrive in secrecy. We have to tell on them. Telling someone you're struggling lessens that internal voice that is your eating disorder. So I just want to thank Chris for chatting with me about this and being so brave and reminding us that eating disorders don't discriminate. They can impact every gender, every race, and I know he's helped so many people with his story. The next entry I want to highlight is entry 19 with holistic nutritionist Angela McGill. It was really easy for me to relate with Angela when we talked, because we have a similar story with both struggling from bulimia at a point more than half of our lives. And Angela gave a good reminder that you have to be your own advocate in your recovery journey. You might have to try your own thing in recovery, try different methods to help you heal, and speak up when something isn't working. So here's what she had to say about that.
If I look back at my healing journey, the biggest impact throughout my healing journey was, like, times that I put myself first or advocated for myself. So, like, the second instance that I can think of was none of the stuff that I was doing was working. So I advocated to go into a group mental health program. It wasn't a program for eating disorders. It was just for mental health, right? Like, the one-on-one therapy and the outpatient eating disorder clinic I was in, I was like, this doesn't feel right to me. So I'd advocated to go into this group program. And that was where I found the most benefit and tools that were given to me. Another instance where I advocated for myself was, this one was a lot harder to do, but I did it, was asking for sabbatical from work to like do my healing. So I took 3 months off from work to heal myself. Obviously, at the end of the 3 months, I wasn't 100% healed, but that was like a big piece of the puzzle for me, was taking 3 months for myself and concentrate on the therapies that I needed.
What she said reminds me of the struggles I went through when trying to find a therapist that worked for me, because I definitely had some off-putting experiences with therapy in the past. I didn't really jive with everyone that I ever saw in therapy. And another guest I had on that talked about traditional therapy not really working for her in her journey is Merritt Elizabeth. Merritt joined me with her business partner, Sarah Lee, in entry 13, and they introduced me to the world of eating disorder recovery coaching. They are both certified recovery coaches themselves, and the three of us just really hit it off. We had a conversation about their own recovery stories. They both struggled with bulimia in the past. We talked about what recovery coaching looks like and how coaching can help someone who is struggling or wanting to recover. And they are also the two women that are the brains behind the course Conquering Bulimia. And I hope that by listening to this podcast, you've been exposed to me talking about the course now. But let's hear from Merritt and Sarah firsthand on what they have to say about the course Conquering Bulimia and how it can help you in your recovery journey.
We've been working on this course for the better part of a year. So it's been a long time in the making. It's definitely been a labor of love.
And when we say almost a year in the making, consistent work.
Yes.
Consistent work, Amy, not dabbling here and there. We sat down, we knew we wanted to do something together because we've become such great friends and we have such similar stories. We run similar coaching practices, but we also have these unique differences, like being 20 years apart. We're exactly 20 years apart in age, right? And so we have some different backgrounds, and we knew we just wanted to bring our differences and similarities together. Mm-hmm. And we sat down like, what are we going to do? And we decided there's not that much out there for bulimia. What? How is this possible? Everybody talks about eating disorders. Everybody gets kind of lumped into one group a lot of times. Sometimes anorexia and binge eating kind of get pulled apart. But if you go look, there's not a whole lot out there for bulimia specifically. So, by the way, love that you have a bulimia specific podcast. And I know you talk about other things too, but that's a core for you. So we have produced over 70 videos, and it's over a course of 10 modules. We go highly in depth. We share our best coaching tips. We talk about everything bulimia related, from mind, body, spirit, heart. We have some of the leading experts in our Conquering Bulimia course. And we have also made it super affordable, discounting it over 60% of what one-on-one coaching would look like. Mm-hmm. So we are super proud of this. Like Merritt said, it's been a labor of love, and we are confident that people are going to find this very helpful, either as an adjunct to their recovery or, you know, just trying to get a jump start in some type of way, like dipping their toes in.
And I think the cool thing about this course is it's for everyone. There really is so many different ways to utilize this course. As Sarah said, as an adjunct to your recovery, maybe you've never told anyone and you're not ready to jump into all things recovery yet. So maybe you use this as kind of an introduction into recovery. Maybe you want to know what coaching is like. We envision so many different people taking this course. I mean, and it's on demand, right? You have access to it forever. So I can literally imagine like someone sitting in their college dorm room being able to use this course when they might be struggling in their recovery. Yeah. We also picture coming home from work and being able to use this as part of your recovery homework. And it's private, you know, it's just for you. It's your course. No one else has to see it. There's no community with the course. You're not joining a Facebook page. It's not an Instagram page. You won't make friends here. It is literally just for you.
That was so important for Merritt and me, because as we talked about, and Amy, I know you're the same, being in the corporate world, we were very high achieving in our eating disorder. And most people would have never known that we struggled. And so to begin our recovery journey, we were not people who wanted to join and have our eating disorder like part of our identity in some type of way. And it makes room for everyone to be different. Some people really need those communities, and that's beautiful. I work with clients all the time that get so much out of a community, right? But that's just not where Merit and me, like, we didn't fit that mold when we went into recovery. And so we wanted to create something for people who was like, I want intensive, a private, on my own time way to pursue recovery.
Like I said earlier on in the episode, I have personally purchased this course and can tell you that it's worth the investment. I've definitely learned a lot and I highly recommend it. For me, I use it as an aid in the maintenance in my recovery. It's a tool in my tool belt that I can refer to. But like they said, you can use this course at any point in your recovery journey, even if you're just getting started, especially if you're just getting started, honestly. One thing I love about recovery is the new world that it opens you up to. For me, I've met so many more people in the field by starting this podcast, and Merit and Sarah are some of the amazing people I've met. I've also met dietitians, like in entry 15, I had a conversation with Caroline Thomason. She is a registered dietitian who works with a lot of clients with disordered eating and eating disorders and past trauma. And in this conversation, we talk about how trauma can relate to eating disorders or disordered eating later on in life. And in part of the conversation, we talked about what changes she had noticed in some of her clients who had really started to work through the trauma and make those critical life changes and start to recover. And this is what she said.
You quite literally can become such a different person, and you meet parts of your personality that like you didn't even know existed. And it's because you have energy to actually think about, like, what would I be doing if I wasn't thinking about food all day? What would I want to do with my life if this wasn't so consuming for me? And so one of the, I think, biggest themes, no matter like what the client is going through or what we're addressing and working with, is that they just like blossom into this really, really amazing new part of themselves that they didn't even know. It's like surprising to them. Sometimes it's surprising to me, because to your point, you're like working through that knot, and it's like, it happens like gradually, gradually, suddenly. Like, it's literally like, okay, we're inching. And then like one day, like things can just fall into place and you just feel the difference and you feel lighter. And I hear that from a lot of clients. It's like, it's a struggle until one day it just feels better.
What I've found so interesting about the past season are the parallels I can draw from episode to episode and the themes that I hear come up literally over and over again. I had that conversation with Caroline, and then immediately in the next episode, entry 16, I interviewed Lucy Saya, who is a college student at Northwestern and is heavily involved in the promotion of the film Project Blackbird, which aims to destigmatize what it's actually like in eating disorder treatment centers. Lucy talks about her own experience with recovery. And based on what Caroline just said, hear what Lucy said in this interview.
I've been in recovery for about 6 months now without acting on any behaviors or doing anything to just like manipulate my life in a negative way. And so I feel so much better than I ever have before, even before I actually was diagnosed with an eating disorder. You know, I thought then that I had such a good life, and now I'm realizing that things can only get better.
I just thought it was so fitting that she said that and how it tied directly into what Caroline was talking about with life just getting better. I will never stop trying to get the message out there that your eating disorder voice is lying to you. Life is so much more than the way you look. And I know that can be hard to believe when that voice has been telling you something differently for however long, but it's true. And all of these guests that I've had on have been a testament to that. In Lucy's episode, entry 16, she talked about how working for Project Blackbird and finding that passion made it almost easier for her to recover because she had something to focus on that she was so passionate about. So I wanted to wrap up this first segment with two more clips back to back so you can really see what I mean when I say that I have seen the same things come up time and time again in all of these episodes. We'll start with Melanie Rogers, the CEO of Balance Eating Disorder Treatment Center. She was just on our last episode, Entry 21, and I wanted to highlight something she said here.
But I realize having something that fills you up and nourishes you and challenges you and is something you're passionate about, for me, that was my master's degree. Like, I just loved being studying that kind of content. Just, you know, it was like a spa for my soul, I used to say, which is really cheesy, I know, but it felt like that. And so I realized that that actually really gave me something bigger than myself to focus on, and body image and weight and all of that stuff that's, you know, part and parcel of an eating disorder.
Now here's Cindy White, a holistic nutritionist and cancer survivor I spoke to in Entry 18, and see if you can pick up on the theme.
The journey to recovery really has to come from within authentically. It can't come from the outside. So even if you sit down with a practitioner who's very skilled in eating disorder recovery, if you don't want to recover, nothing's going to work. And so the most important part is to tap in to your deep self, figure out what your priorities are, where you want to go with your life, and really start figuring out who you are, because we lose ourselves to the eating disorder. Whether you're at a young child, it's more prevalent as a young child because we don't know who we are yet. When we're older, we have a better sense for who we are. But when the eating disorder is taking up so much space in our lives, we have a tendency to really lose ourselves to that eating disorder, and we forget who we are. And part of finding our way to recovery is starting to remember who we really are. You know what? I'll ask my clients this all the time, like, what lights you up? Like, what makes you just like want to jump and yell and makes your skin tingle? Like, what are those things? Oh, well, you know, it's music or it's this or it's that. And usually those clients are not doing those things. And so if you're stuck still in the hold of an eating disorder, a great place to start is not actually with the eating disorder itself or with food. It's more of figuring out who you are, what you really want in life. What are the things that make you tick? What are the things that make you unique, beautiful, radiant? And start tapping into those, because once we start creating more space for the things that make us, that fill us up and make us feel awesome, we actually start naturally squeezing out the eating disorder.
I think those clips summarize such a beautiful message and is something I just really wanted to highlight as we're wrapping up this season. I've said this before, but I ignored my passion, that little voice in the back of my head telling me to help others with eating disorders. I ignored that for a very long time because I felt like an imposter. I would think to myself, am I even healed enough? Am I healthy enough to be doing this? How do I even go about doing that? When I found the outlet of podcasting through doing something I love, which is journaling, I was able to create a whole new world for myself in the last year. I was finally able to lean in and actually listen to myself. And in some ways, not a lot has changed, but in others, everything has changed. And being able to put my energy into this has definitely helped with the maintenance of my recovery. Look, I still have these bad days sometimes and days that are a real struggle for me, but I am happy and grateful for my life and recovery. And I hope this season of the Eating Disorder Diaries was able to allow you to get to know me and my story and my struggles and my achievements and give you hope that you can come out on the other side just like I did. I want to thank all of my amazing guests for keeping me educated, giving me hope, giving us new tools, and helping me break the stigma of having an eating disorder one entry at a time. Now let's get into segment number two. This is going to be the last time we answer these questions in segment two. We've got a recommendation and a positive self-affirmation, and I will start with a recommendation I have, and that is to set some goals for yourself. Throughout the season, I've talked about how setting goals has really helped me achieve a lot in my life, between where I'm at in my recovery to where I'm at in my career to helping me find my purpose, like I talked about in this episode. And I've also set goals in my life that never went anywhere. So my recommendation is to write down your goals and track their progress. They should be realistic and measurable. So an example is, if you want to get started with journaling, you'll probably feel motivated enough to buy the journal. But in order to keep yourself accountable and measure your success, open your journal and write down what your goal is with journaling for the week or for the month. When I started journaling, I wrote down my goal on the first page of my journal to journal every single day, Monday through Friday for 1 month straight. And after that month, I was hooked. It became my habit. That month, I did it at a time that worked for me. I knew I could do it every single day in the morning before work. But getting started with journaling doesn't have to be the goal, although I do still think it's helpful to write your goals down in a journal so you can go back and reflect on it. But what other goals could you be working towards that help you in your recovery journey or help with your mental health and well-being? Maybe that's starting therapy. Maybe it's finding a new therapist. Remember, I found my therapist on BetterHelp, so sometimes those ads you hear can truly benefit you. For me, I will be doing a dry January, which I love and has proven results for me. And I will also be working on completing a course that I'm very excited to talk to you guys about in the next season. I also want to stay off social media because it really gives me anxiety, because I don't always have the best social media boundaries with scrolling. So my goal for January is to keep the social media apps off of my phone. No Instagram, no TikTok. I will still be checking the Eating Disorder Diaries Instagram page on my laptop in January because the majority of you guys reach out to me in the DMs there. But I am looking forward to a little social media break. As far as something I love about myself, a positive self-affirmation, I love that I leaned into my purpose and decided to be brave and put my story out there because it's changed my life for the better. And I can't wait to see what the next season of this and next chapter in life has in store for us. Please continue reaching out. I want to connect with anyone that listens. I want to hear more about what you would want to hear more of next season. So you can reach out to me on Instagram at The Eating Disorder Diaries. And I just want to sincerely thank you all for listening and keeping me motivated and helping me change my life. Having this community and meeting the people I have means more than you realize. And I'll be thinking of you all as we get into the new 2024 year and crush it. And we will start this new chapter together. So there you have it. That's a wrap on season one of The Eating Disorder Diaries. This podcast was written and produced by me, Amy Geckel, with music from Coma Media. All of the episodes referenced today are linked in the show notes, and I'm available via email as well if you'd like to chat or collaborate. My email is theeatingdisorderdiaries@gmail.com. Be sure to subscribe to the podcast so you can be notified when the new season comes out. And I just want to say thank you again for tuning in to the last 9 months, and you'll be hearing from me soon. Bye.